A leading Libyan newspaper is reporting that two Libyan pilots ditched their planes, parachuting out rather than carry out orders to bomb a city said to be under opposition control. Libya is not going the way of Egypt and Tunisia. Yesterday, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi called on his supporters to beat back the opposition, which he attributed to foreigners distributing pills and brainwashing people. But while pro-government forces are still in control in the capital of Tripoli, protesters have taken control of cities elsewhere. We've got an eye on Libya and Bahrain. Yesterday, 100,000 Bahrainis took to the streets. Thousands are in the capital's Pearl Square again today. That country's king released dozens of political prisoners, but also today traveled to neighboring Saudi Arabia for advice. Joining us from Doha is Shadi Hamid of the Brookings Doha Center. And Shadi, first of all, your thoughts on what is happening in Bahrain?
Well, what we saw yesterday was incredible. We're talking about nearly one out of every five Bahrainis took to the streets. It's hard to think of any comparable number in previous revolutions. I mean, that really says something here. And the regime certainly took note. They saw those numbers, and that puts pressure on them. And I think now the momentum is with the Shia opposition in Bahrain, and the Sunni ruling family finds itself in a precarious situation. When that number of Bahrainis mobilizes against your rule and wants serious substantive changes in the government, you have to respond, or I suppose the other option is to go back to the old repressive ways. But that was already tried last week, where around seven Bahrainis were killed, and that didn't work. So I think we're at a stalemate now, and neither side's willing to back down, and we'll have to see who's really able to seize the day.
Well, and the king has, since that early violent response, he's now released dozens of political prisoners, maybe upward of 100. They're offering $2,600 to every Bahraini family, allowing protesters back into the main square. But tell me, what do protesters want? Do they want the royal ruling family to step down completely, or do they want to add to the monarch a democracy?
Well, they want a true constitutional monarchy. And if we're talking about real democracy in Bahrain, the Shias make up nearly 70% of the population. So in any democracy, they would be the ones ruling Bahrain. The Sunni ruling family isn't going to allow that. But what the Shia protesters seem to be asking for is real proportionate representation.
Well, it may not just be the ruling monarchy that might not allow it. We understand that pro-government demonstrators have been out in the streets. This is the 30% of the country that isn't Shia. These are mostly affluent people who are pro-government. How are they going to react to any seismic shift?
Well, they don't want that to happen, and that's why the minority of Sunnis in the country are very much supporting the king and the ruling family right now. They're afraid of losing their privileges and power. They live an affluent lifestyle. They control most of the country's resources. They have it good. And in any real power shift in the country, they're the ones who are going to have to pay some of the price. And that's what makes Bahrain so difficult. If one party wins, the other is going to lose.
Well, and as we've said, the king of Bahrain has traveled to Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia, also a Sunni ruling family, but unlike Bahrain, a Sunni majority in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia's government has also announced a $35 billion aid package for its citizens. That country has been mostly quiet. If you could be a fly on the wall in this conversation between the king of Bahrain and the ruling monarchy in Saudi Arabia, what do you think is being said?
Well, Saudi Arabia doesn't want to see Bahrain become a democracy. That would set a very troubling precedent, and Saudi Arabia has to worry about its own unrest. So far, there hasn't been much going on, but that could change. There has been some movement in eastern Saudi Arabia, as well as some efforts to form the country's first political party. So Saudi Arabia might be coming alive a little bit. That's one thing. And Saudi Arabia doesn't want to lose control. And that's where Iran comes into this. There is a paranoia or a fear that if the Shias have more power in Bahrain, that will give Iran a foothold in the Gulf to project its influence. And Saudi Arabia and Iran to put it lightly, don't get along at all.
Well, and Iran, again, largely Shia. Bahrain, largely Shia. And Saudi Arabia, with a Shia minority, they don't likely want to see roused up by things happening, as you said, across the border. Shadi Hamid in Doha with the Brookings Doha Center. Shadi, thank you, as always, for your insight.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me.